Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Time for the best baseball show you're ever going to find on the radio.
Ballpoint, ball, net, net, ball, net, done.
Rob Bradford of WEEI.com and Steve Peralt of the Section 10 Podcast are making the greatest game great again, 2 hours at a time.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
No football, no basketball, no hockey. Just the most entertaining baseball talk you've ever experienced. It's the Live BP Baseball Show.
If you hit the man with the ball, then he may run to the pillows.
With Bradfo and Peralt on EEI.
All right, here we go. We're back. Back.
We are back.
And you know what, Steve?
Yep.
The thing is that we have brought baseball back. You can tell it. You can sense it. We went on this journey to bring baseball conversation back 2 hours at a time. And if I don't know if you heard all week. Yesterday, oh my goodness, the station actually talked about baseball.
I was excited when the show before us here with Fitzy and Mega was talking
that's
baseball.
That's when you know.
I was like, they're talking about Alex Cora. We're breaking down the 2021 Red Sox. Let's go.
And I think that we're the straw that stirs the drink. We always have been for, what is it? How many weeks are we in now?
I think this is the sixth show. I believe this is
whatever.
The
cavalcade of stars.
In 6 weeks.
The cavalcade of stars keep coming.
Yeah.
That's Steve Peralt. I'm Rob Bradford. We have had, you know, you name it. Dustin Pedroia, David Ortiz, Joe Kelly, Dayton Moore, Tanner Houck last week, blah, 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 blah.
Props to us for this guest list. It's very good.
Well, I mean, this is a staple in the show. I mean, when you want to hear what is going on, it's not just like guests for the sake of guests. Andrew Benintendi gets traded. We get on the general manager of the Royals.
Yeah, it makes
sense. Dustin Pedroia retires. We get on Dustin Pedroia. David Ortiz exists. We get on David Ortiz.
It is funny with Poppy. You never need a reason to interview Poppy. If you get to interview Poppy, you do it.
No, the only question is, is he going to be playing ping pong in a wind tunnel in the Dominican Republic?
My goodness, the audio quality.
Yeah.
Nothing gets me more upset than bad audio quality. It was Minkiewicz on Section 10 this week, and it sounded like he was chopping up every 3 seconds. Didn't love it.
That and your co-host getting COVID.
I know, geez.
Anyway.
So you feel fine, right? You feel fine?
I feel great. Okay. I feel great. I got a call from the nice people of the state. You know, they're the contact tracing people. This will take 2 seconds.
Please.
They call and call and call, and then yesterday I got the call a couple days ago. You have graduated. I'm like, great, super, awesome.
Isn't that wonderful?
Speaking of graduating, the station is graduating to the next level of baseball talk in large part because of us. We didn't have a show last week on the air, but we did have an interview with Tanner Houck. And I do feel like before we get to sort of our rants and our takes and everything else, in case people didn't hear it, I condensed it into 2 minutes, this interview. I think this is how all interviews should be done. We should take the best parts of it, boom, put in 2 minutes.
Just like that, shout out to the MLB app, because they've been doing that with Red Sox Sound. It's just a line of videos, and it's all like 40 seconds.
I tried
like,
doing that, but it took way too long. I'm just saying,
shout out to anyone that's trimming down spring training sound. So it's like, you know, you can actually absorb it and not want to blow your brains out.
And this is part of the conversation maybe we can have later in the show, but you come out, David Ortiz talked about it, Chris Sale talked about it yesterday, about baseball being boring and so forth and so on. But I feel like that conversation, the baseball, how do you fix baseball, and it's gone beyond just the, get a pitch clock. It's
Which is the only thing that comes up every time.
No, but I think it's, you know, first sign of addiction is denial, and I feel like the players are finally coming out and saying, yeah,
yeah,
this launch angle thing sucks.
Yeah.
Strikeouts suck.
Players are more willing to express their opinions, which is nice. I'm interested in these guys actually saying what they think instead of like, yeah, you know, we're really looking forward. Like, guys are actually giving you sound bites that matter.
I feel that way. I think the Red Sox have a ways to go. I think we did this
big time. But Hulk, I'm telling you, Hulk surprised me. He was a little more like, I don't want to, energetic's not the word, but he gave us some good stuff.
Well,
it was a fun interview.
Well, speaking of which, professional radio segue, Bridget, why don't we rattle that off? The 2-minute interview with Tanner Hulk. The 2-minute.
Honestly, I don't remember talking about it with him. For me, I would love to start. That's what I've done my entire life. I had that little stint in 19 out of the bullpen. It was a great experience. I definitely feel comfortable doing it. But my ultimate goal is to be a starter. I want that ball every fifth day and to go out there and compete for 6-7 innings.
If nothing else, have a bench pressing competition with Noah Syndergaard, right? So my first question, did that ever take place?
No, never did take place. I know where my strengths lie, and that would not be one of them.
Did you get any new tattoos?
I didn't. No, not this season. Not this off season. I wanted to, but with COVID and stuff, probably not the best to have an open wound, out there for me to get that going.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to have to take 2 weeks off. I'm not I don't want to have to sit in my car and do a Zoom call.
Tanner, this is the most important question you're going to get all spring, very clearly. You last spring training wore a like Jurassic Park shirt, but it had, I love Jurassic Park. It's my favorite movie ever. Next to like the Sandlot. Like, we don't have to get into that, but it looked like the Jurassic Park logo, but then it had Red Sox. I basically need that shirt like yesterday. Where did you get that, and what's the story behind that shirt?
So I got that actually my first full season, 2018, in Salem, Virginia. We had a Jurassic Park night, and that was the shirt that they were handing out to fans. And so I was just like, can you get me one? Like, XL, please, like, can I have that? I literally almost wore that shirt actually in here to the interview. I love that shirt more than anything else. I will wear that thing until it either falls apart or it is so faded that like you can't see any more of the lettering or anything like that. I don't even know. Like, honestly, if I lost that thing, I would cry.
Give me more Tanner Hulk.
I know. He was good.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you said it. You hit the nail on the head. Give me more Tanner Hulk. Give me more personality.
Somebody
give me
on
more...
this team that's enjoyable to listen to. I loved his answer on, and again, on the live BP show, you get the real questions that matter. Like, what's up with that Jurassic Park Red Sox shirt? I need one. That's the questions you get here.
Or,
which
or
is
how
really...
come you didn't get the dragon back tattoo?
I know,
COVID.
Seriously. But I was just pumped with how excited he was about that shirt, because that question, if I'm Tanner, I'd just be like, whatever. I don't know. I got it from Salem. That deserved kind of a whatever answer. He gave a great answer. So that I'm very impressed with.
Well, it meant a lot to him. I mean, it meant a lot to him.
And then the Salem Red Sox, shout out to them. They're sending us Jurassic Park Red Sox shirts.
That's what this is all about. This is about engagement. This is about excitement. This is about, you know, this not, it's fine. Like, I have to sit through these Zoom calls and do the breakdown of the two-seamer and the blah, 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 which is fine.
I enjoy the blah, 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 blah.
No, I understand, but there's the, especially this time of year, heading through spring training, which I'm about to jet down toward on Wednesday. It is about those stories. It's about the T-shirts. It is about that sort of thing.
Aren't you ready? I know the Red Sox, obviously, Fitzy talking about it, going to the game tomorrow, the first Red Sox spring training game, which is, he gets to go to all the cool stuff down there. My goodness, Fitzy is on a roll.
I mean, he's basically, if he sold his tickets, he would never have to work again.
I'm telling you, he's on a roll down there. But aren't you excited? I know I am, to just completely overreact to things that don't matter in these spring training games. I can't wait. I cannot wait to be like, oh, Bobby Dalbec's going to win the MVP because he had a solo homer off a guy on the other team that's not even going to play at the big league level this year. I'm very excited for that.
Well, speaking of Bobby Dalbec, I can't even remember if I said this at the top of the show, but Bobby Dalbec, I know I said in the crossover, Bobby Dalbec will be joining us in about 20 minutes, 20, 25 minutes, another great guest. But along those lines, So this is our job. Our job is to look forward, but you can only look forward if you take a look back. And this week, down in spring training, you have this cavalcade of, I guess, storylines. But to me, Steve, the biggest one, and I was like, again, the Red Sox have officially won the title for the best conditioned team, not only this year, but maybe in the history of baseball.
The way they're talking about it, you would think that it adds wins onto the regular season total if you come in shape. And these guys apparently, I see, here's the thing, and I know AC literally called you out in the presser.
Let's play that. This is Alex Cora in one of the pressers talking about this subject.
Christian put work in the offseason. When you guys see him, I know Rob always makes fun of me when I said, you know, he's the best shape of his life. You know, everybody is. Well, you guys will see him. You guys will see the pictures, and he is in his best shape of the life.
Okay, so that was Alex Cora. This is Christian Vasquez the next day.
Yeah, lost like 15 pounds, so I'm lighter and I feel better. You know, I'm moving better behind the plate. You know, I feel 10 years younger, so.
Okay, that's the sounds of spring training right there. There it is.
If you lose 15 pounds, you feel 10 years younger. I didn't know that.
This go down the list, and we'll ask Dahlbeck about this as well, because Dahlbeck's one of the guys.
Yeah.
Dahlbeck is one of the guys who got
he
on
said
the,
he added some muscle,
but
though.
He like lowered the body fat or lowered the weight or whatever it is. But it is just this wave of the best shape of their lives. But not only that, the weight. Chavis, Devers, Vasquez, Cora.
JD looks the same. JD still looks
JD
big.
JD was one of the guys. Oh, he supposedly he lost some weight.
Yeah.
Everybody did.
By the way, it's a very easy thing to just say you did, right? Because I don't think anyone's going to then throw you on a scale. Like, you can just say that you lost 10 pounds and you can't really tell the difference, especially for JD.
Well, you know what the ultimate of that example of that was. The Pablo thing.
Oh, Pablo. Well, I was going to bring up Pablo. It's better that they're saying this instead of showing up looking like Pablo Sandoval. Not the year that he apparently trimmed, but the other years where he looked like, you know, enormous.
Oh, sure.
So at least we can make fun of it all we want, and we should.
And I will.
Yeah, I know. I was ready to say it. But, like, we can make fun of it all we want, but I would way rather they be saying this than showing up like Pablo Sandoval did.
And the reason Cora said that, like, I wrote the story 2 years ago about when they say they're in the best shape of their lives, are they really? And you go, and we talked about this last week, but you go down the list of, you ask these guys, and some of them, yeah, I am, but I'm not. But it's a cliche. Obviously, it's this time of year, rite of passage cliche. But I've never heard it like this.
It's a lot.
The Sandoval thing, you know, we can talk about that. Picture Jason Mastronato tweeted out the other day of like his gut hanging out. You forget, oh my goodness.
That is an iconic photo.
He was so fat. And there was one going back with Josh Beckett throwing a bullpen session. This is, I think, in 2006, 2007.
Yeah.
And his gut's hanging out. And, you know, but the Sandoval thing was the worst part about all of that was John Henry. John Henry saying, he's at 17% body fat.
Yeah, I mean, please.
I mean, also, not easy to do.
You just don't have to, with anything with Pablo in that situation, you didn't even have to really address it. Everyone just saw he was huge. He was fat. And it's like, that's, you know, is what it is. And you can, there's been plenty of baseball players that can be bigger and succeed. It's not like you have to necessarily show up.
No, sometimes you lose weight and you suck.
And you get worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not like that needs to be, you know, you need to be in the best shape of your life. You're going to show up and you're going to perform. But that photo, I will never forget when that photo surfaced. That was one of the best moments in Red Sox Twitter history because everybody had a take on that when his stomach was just rolling out.
You don't realize, since I was in the middle of it, and when you see him, like when you see him down there, like, oh yeah, he's fat, but that sort of misrepresents it. But I can understand people who weren't there and they see that photo. Oh my goodness.
Insane.
It was crazy.
Insane. Granted, we all have our unfortunate angles. Okay,
but
I'm like as big as I've ever been right now. So if you get me at the wrong, you know, side angle, I'd look like a whale as well.
Not me. I look like groundskeeper Willie.
No, I'm telling you, you look like a bodybuilder. But like I know that you can have bad angles. I get that aspect of it, but I'm glad no one on this team yet has had an unflattering photo go viral.
I don't think there's anyone to. I mean, Devers last year when he came in spring training 2.0, he was big.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Devers, he has like trunks for legs, so like tree trunks. So like it's almost you need that. That's where he generates his power. So I don't really have an issue.
Here's a little inside with Devers with spring training.
Yeah.
His first year of major league spring training, where you're like Nick York right now, the 18-year-old, he gets to hang out with the big leaguers. But what you also get is a major league per diem.
Mm.
Devers was wearing out that major league per diem. I mean, he must have gained 20 pounds easy from day one to the end of this camp.
Yeah.
And then he had to go to Portland and whittle it off.
Yeah. Well, the whole concept, though, last year was all over the map because you couldn't even finish spring training. And then these guys, by the way, I meant to write this in my notes. I'm glad I just remembered this. J.D. Martinez saying he wasn't like he was almost caught off guard of when the season started. Come on now, JD. There's a lot of excuses out of JD. You're one of the best hitters this team's seen, at least for what you did in 2018, 2019. Too many excuses.
Not good. Not good. And you know, and Barnes was sort of along that lines today. He had a Zoom call today, and he was saying, well, you know, the first 4 weeks is sort of like when you get ready, and we had to actually play in real games. But the way I look at it is that everybody else had to do it, too.
Especially with the video thing. With looking back, it's like everyone else wasn't able to also check all of their pitches during the game. Like, find ways to adjust. I didn't really love, you know, hearing that answer. But
You know, another part of that was when, you know, with JD, it was you know, he at the end of the year, he asked the reporters, he said, do you guys consider this a real year? Like, it was basically saying, don't consider this a real year.
Yeah.
And my response in my head was, yeah, of course I do.
Well, I just don't like that mentality. I'm just,
well, you have to. It's the rules. It's like if you played basketball, you would have to play by the rules.
Exactly.
If you played basketball, baseball, the rules change. The rules changed last year. You had to play by them.
And I know we've talked about face of the Red Sox. It's Xander Bogaerts, the unofficial captain. J.D. Martinez is at least should be a veteran presence in that clubhouse. A lot of players say that he helps them with their swing and all that. I don't want that guy to then also be going to the media like, you know, I wasn't really ready for last year and it wasn't really a real year and I couldn't look at the iPad. A lot of excuses.
I do. One of the things he mentioned about wanting to play for a long time and play for a long time with the Red Sox, and I do want to get to that later in the show. Because like right now, if you match up his plate appearances with David Ortiz's plate appearances,
pretty similar numbers,
almost exactly identical.
Yeah.
Now David Ortiz, the rest of the way was even better than where he was now, which was about 2007. I want to get at that a little bit later, but you talked, Steve, about the face of the Red Sox.
Yes,
and this is where I'm going to loop in the whole conversation about these guys being in good shape. In all seriousness, my biggest takeaway so far in the first 10 days of camp is undeniably Alex Cora is the right guy for the manager job. I mean, we could have said Sam Fold, and we can throw out some of these other guys. The goal is to get a guy who can bring out the best in the guys that you have. And I don't think there's any question that Alex Cora is the right guy. I don't know if they're going to win, but I do feel like you aren't going to do any better than him.
They're going to be in a position like they were coming off the World Series championship where they're like, this is the guy we want. This is the guy we want to go to war for, which Tanner Houck said in our interview last weekend. He's like, I want to go to war behind Alex Cora. Obviously, he's the right guy for the job. I wonder how much he's going to be calling guys out. He did it a little bit when he was the manager before. If he thought, you know, Erod need a kick in the butt, which he always seemed to get on Erod. That was the guy.
The early March, I mean, I have these moments where he got out on Erod ingrained in my brain, but one of the times, I think probably the most notable time was early March, Port St. Lucie. It was actually Tim Tebow at two hits off Erod.
That's a tough sign.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're going to have your manager
get called out for that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it was like, enough is enough. Enough is enough about not going deep into games and wasting pitches and all of that. Enough is enough. That was when Alex Cora got on Rodriguez, and I think that was the start of sort of making him understand that.
I do wonder how much he's going to do that this season. I'm definitely going to pay attention to that. I know when we talked to him on Section 10, he was very much I think he's anticipating some reaction from fans that's not really going to be there.
I agree with that.
I don't think it's going to be he's ready to get destroyed.
He brings it up a lot.
He
right?
does. Yeah. He does, because like very clearly he thinks about it, and that's one thing I love about AC is he's very transparent. And he's very transparent with the players. He's transparent with the media. He will tell you what he's thinking. He thinks he's going to get, like, destroyed this year, and I just don't agree with that. I really don't. I mean, Yankee fans, obviously, but, like.
Yeah, okay, whatever. I mean, you go into another park, fine. But we're sitting here 10 days in, And I know that Fitzy and Mego talked about this, but the tide is turning, man. Like, the tide is, like, we, I don't want to say joked about it, but we mentioned at the beginning of the show, people are starting to talk about baseball. But there's every excuse still not to talk about baseball, but in large part because you hear Chris Sale, because you hear Alex Cora, because you have this idea of, wait a second, they might not actually not suck. And they, it is permeating heading into tomorrow's big opener, I think, more than anybody anticipated.
Yeah. I just don't think he's going to get destroyed the way he thinks he is. And also, I mean, when you're getting booed by 12% of a crowd, it doesn't really sit the same. It's not exactly going to be raining down.
Know. Maybe it's worse, though. Maybe it's worse. I mean, maybe like you single that guy out.
That is true, though. I remember we talked about this before, I think, but that guy in Tampa, that fan in Tampa that used to just destroy players. He would yell at guys, and you'd always hear him because there's no fans there. Still no fans there, even, you know, before the pandemic. That guy, I want him to come back this year. This is his year to shine. If there's going to be 12%, he is going to dominate. Because I think he kind of faded. He kind of faded once the Rays got good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And there was a guy, yeah, there was a guy in Toronto, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to get to these calls before we get to Bobby Dahl back. Let's crank through this because we got some of our favorites on hold here. The guy who always, the straw that stirs a drink, the guy who leads things off. We had a Dayton Moore lead off one time. We have Mookie Betts lead off another time. Jeff from Watertown is our constant leadoff hitter. Jeff, what's going on?
Hey, Beth and Steve. How you guys doing?
Good.
What's up, Jeff?
So I got excited finally. I mean, this is the thing that last week I was all ready to talk to you guys. I was all fired up. You got preempted for a hockey game that was couldn't be played because the ice melted. I mean, I don't know what that was about. But I'm excited
baseball.
Finally. And you know what really got me excited, actually, was Mutt and Maloney over the February break when I was home from teaching. And they were talking about, they finally came up with the idea that last year was just a bad dream. You know, like those old sitcoms of the 60s and 70s where they'd have the episodes where there'd be the bad, you know. And that once they just kind of took that mentality and just sort of thought, you know, Alex Cora has always been the coach. And, you know, last year didn't happen. Guys didn't come out of the stands and the pitch. And, you know, and so now I'm getting excited. And I, you know, the first time I called you for the first show, I said that Alex Cora, the one thing I realized is he's the guy because he's going to bring the energy. And he'll give them grief. And he's going to be Alex Cora. And that's just what this team needs. And I'm really excited about Verdugo and Xander Bogaerts because I think that the two of them are still, they're players who play the game the way that the game was meant to be played, and they're not afraid to, you know, go the opposite way with two strikes. I mean, they're just those kinds of players, and I just think I'm excited finally.
There you go. Thanks for the call, Jeff.
Let's go baseball.
Yeah, yeah, go baseball.
Absolutely.
Right? Hashtag baseball.
Here's the thing. I was ready for a question, but I was like, you know what? This is a nice little call right here. It was kind of a summary from Jeff. It was kind of getting
fine.
Back on track.
I mean, it's like Jeff is the voice of, I think, a lot of people right now.
Yeah.
And honestly, Steve, this is not the norm. When you hit, what are we? What's February? It's February, whatever it is.
February's a month. What's up?
It is a month. Yes.
We're almost in March, which is wild.
But we're not even at March, and that's my point.
Yeah.
Usually right now, it's sort of and I'm not saying that everyone's going to be talking about baseball from stem to stern, but with this team, there is a, wait, what's going on here? What's happening?
Well, because every player on the team is letting you know, watch out for us, because we're flying under
exactly.
The radar.
They already put the banner up at JetBlue. Most pounds lost in the offseason. Congratulations. let's go to our guy, Cooper. Cooper and Hanson.
Coop.
Hey, Coop.
What's up, guys?
Thanks for holding on for 2 weeks.
I know. We almost had you 2 weeks. Coop, it's been 3 weeks. How you doing, man?
I've been hanging in. I've just been standing in the same spot, just waiting for you guys to finally pick up my phone.
It's been on hold for 3 weeks.
Yeah, I've just been out in the rain and the snow. I've experienced every single type of weather in the last 3 weeks. But I had a question about what you guys think, like kind of the motivation behind, like within the last week, you had two huge names, Chris Sale and JD, bring up like the fact that they want to retire in Boston. I think like JD said, he wants to be a Red Sox legend. Chris Sale was like, I 100% want to retire Red Sox. And do you think that's like looking at what kind of happened with Mookie Betts, with him not really like vocalizing he wants to be here? And or like maybe like seeing like the treatment Pedroia got.
I think part of it with JD, honestly, Coop.
Thanks for the call, Cooper.
Thanks for the call, Coop. Love you, Coop. Part of the JD aspect of that, and he expressed as much, is that he was not pumped the National League is going back to having pitchers hitting, and that the National League is not sticking with the designated hitter, which is garbage, by the way. That's a discussion for a different day. I know we have Bobby coming up, but I think that's a big part of JD's thing. It's like, well, how many suitors am I going to have realistically as I enter my age 34, 35, 36 season? Not many.
Yeah, I for Chris Sale, I think it's more real. I don't want to say realistic, but genuine, I guess, because you have to understand where Chris Sale's coming from. Chris Sale, when he signed his extension, he said to me in London, he's like, I really had no intention of going to free agency, because almost the exact same thing he said yesterday, which is, all we do is win. They're going to put the money in to win. We're going to usually win. And all, by the way, I also live in Fort Myers. I mean, and honestly, this is a big thing for him.
I know.
The entire, for 2 months during spring training, which he would might be typically away from his boys, he is with them.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal for him. And so I actually believed him.
I know when he said all the Red Sox do is win, I was like, kind of convenient. You didn't watch last year. That's pretty good.
Yeah, look it up. Look it up.
I mean, there's 6 games under 500 since winning the World Series. So I don't know about all they do is win. But one thing I love about Sale is he's very honest. He's not going to give you some BS answer. Like, he'll actually give you what he's thinking. And I think if he had it his way, he would play here the rest of his career.
Yeah, I think when he said all they do is win, is all they do is spend money.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, that's
but
what
like
he meant.
Win, spend money sounds very similar. So I get why you got caught
up
on that.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it always translates.
Yep.
Yep, exactly. Okay, before we get the doll back, Carl in the Cape. How you doing, Carl?
Hey, what's happening, fellas? How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Great.
Excellent. Excellent. You know, I agree. Baseball's back. Things are looking up for the Sox. I think it all really boils down to having an incredible manager. I mean, at the end of the day, Cora's a special guy. And I think he injects passion into the team, and it shows. It really does. I think, you know, you got probably one of the best, if not the best manager in the major leagues, and he's going to lead the way. The reason why I call is I want to run this by you. I feel like the lineup itself, when you start breaking down, looking at guys where they're going to hit. I know they had Verdugo leading off most of the time last year, but I feel like if they could get a bona fide leadoff guy and then the ability to take Verdugo and bat him in the two hole, and you got Bogey and JD hitting 3 and 4, you got Devers hitting fifth, that lineup becomes very dynamic. So I'm just wondering if you feel like they have another guy on the squad that could sort of.
I've made my prediction, Carl. Carl, I've made my prediction. It's not Verdugo. It's one Enrique Kike Hernandez.
Nice.
Well,
I like it,
and I think that's what I think that's what Cora is thinking as well. So, but Carl, thanks for the call. I like the conversation. I like all of it, the Cora talk, the lineup talk. And we'll get back to the lineup a little bit later in the show. But we got Bobby Dahl back coming up. We got to get to him, first baseman of the Boston Red Sox, also of Team USA, also of the Section 10 podcast of the Brad Foe Show, a friend of us all, Bobby Dahl back. But first, trending now.
OMF, weekdays from 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's the aforementioned trending now. It's happening on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Bruins suffered their second straight blowout loss last night against the Rangers at Madison Square Garden. 10% capacity. Tuukka gave up 6 goals in the loss. The team is still without second-line center David Krejci and are missing 3 key defensemen. Up next, the Bruins face the Rangers again at noon tomorrow. The Celtics, big win against the Pacers. Kemba put up 32.
Listen, Kemba's back.
I want to listen to Gary Tang. Gary Tangway tomorrow with Andy Hart at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Gary's going to come out flying.
Excited for Kemba to be 1 for 14 from 3 in his next game.
I mean, he can be good if you give him a week off.
Yeah, seriously.
That's great. Some good and bad news for the Patriots. Ian Rappaport reports that Pats players who opted out for the 2020 season are all planning to come back. However, Edelman's knee might not be healthy enough to start the season. Red Sox spring training games tomorrow against the Twins. You can listen to the game at 105 through our sister station, AM 850, where my voice can be here about 18 times in the coming weeks. But also, a lot, Steve, the only place where you can digest exactly what's going on in spring training. It's unbelievable. That's what's trending now in WEEI and WEEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Time now for the live BP Baseball Show.
Ball point, boom, net, net, ball, net, done.
With Rob Bradford and Steve Peralt.
Throw a bowler to the stick, man.
More baseball talk now.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
Bradford and Peralt on WEEI.
All right, before we get the Bobby Dahl back, big breaking news.
Yes.
It seems to be a transaction either before our shows or during our shows.
Yes, I guess we're like a good luck charm for news. I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Well, but they want to keep the conversation going. They hold off.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that we can talk about it.
Yeah. This is an enormous. I don't want to tease it too much, but this is huge news.
Okay. You ready? You want to break it?
No, you can break it.
All right.
You saw it first.
The Red Sox have made a trade. Actually, they made a trade. It was a player to be named later.
They completed a trade.
Thank you.
Yes.
You're so good with the words.
I know.
It completes a trade that they made at the trade deadline. We had the Kevin Pillar trade. We had the Mitch Moreland trade. And we also had the Josh Osich trade. And everyone was wondering, when are you going to get the name for the Josh Osich trade? What is the return? Well, now we know.
Sox fans have been waiting for this news for
now
a long
we
time.
Know. Pitcher Zach Bryant comes from the Chicago Cubs organization to the Boston Red Sox in exchange for Josh Osich.
Yeah, enormous news.
Well, we've efforted to get Zach Bryant on the program before 6 o'clock. We'll get back to you. But I know who we do have on the line. Who people know, no disrespect to the Bryant family, but know a little bit more than Zach Bryant. Bobby Dahl back. Bobby, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Rob Bradford, Steve Peralt. I'm not going to ask you how the weather is there because, I mean, it's probably good and
those
it's
questions
bad here.
Stink, by the way.
They
everyone's
do stink.
It's always like, oh, well, it's warmer here than it is back home.
No
like, enough. That's,
yeah.
That stinks. Yeah. Every spring
it's,
training, that's not funny.
And you're probably complaining about how hot it is, too, right? I mean, like that's what
oh,
you
yeah.
Yeah, big time.
I mean, I did my green screen thing for the team this year with a beet red neck, so we'll see how that
By the way, Bobby, holy mackerel. Speaking of green screen, sorry, this might interest nobody but me, but when I'm tweeting something out about you and I do the GIF thing, it's like you have the best collection of GIFs, like maybe in the major leagues.
It's a good GIF set. Yeah.
All thanks to Team USA. I mean, it looked like you posed for 2 hours doing GIFs for Team USA.
I know, right? They did a really good job in it. You know, they did all of that for everybody on the team in about 5 days and got that all together for, you know, right before we headed out to Mexico. It was pretty cool.
Which was the most awkward pose? Which was the most awkward pose?
Anytime I have to do a thumbs up for no reason, I feel like it's so awkward for me. I'm like, nice.
Because it's like, is that it? Is that all you need? Like 2 seconds?
The one that I used was you looking at the bicep, which is, listen, that's a solid one.
Yeah.
And then you have one I almost used, which is you sort of like cheered, getting the crowd to cheer. That must have been a little awkward. But, you know,
that one's awkward too.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell. You could tell you that you put everything into it, which I give you massive amounts of credit for. But I can see where someone says, okay, now, Bobby, give me the thumbs up. Not good.
Yeah, the thumbs up's good. And then, well, they're like, okay, hold it for 5 seconds. I'm like, okay.
God. It's like, do I smile with this? What do I do?
Yeah.
How about, again, something that nobody cares about but me? You know those ones where you do the ones where you have to look down and then slowly look up?
Oh, well, the ones for, like, you know, let's say you're coming up in the ninth.
Yeah.
And the big screen at Fenway, those ones get me going. I'm not going to lie. If you throw that together with the right song, I'm assuming you're going back to back.
You put a little water on the visor so it's dripping down.
In slow-mo? Ooh. Absolutely. Ooh. Thoughts, Bobby?
Cue shipping up to Boston by the dropkick.
Oh, Murphy, my goodness. They used to play that. Yeah, when Papelbon came in, they would play that, and I was like, he's going to mow him down 110 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby, more importantly, we'll talk some real questions here.
What are you talking about? Those are real questions.
We'll get into some real stuff here. What's the general vibe like in Fort Myers? I know you probably get asked a lot about, like, oh, how do you feel about this season, yada, yada, yada. But in all honesty, like, how do you feel about this team as it's constructed for 2021?
I feel really good about it. You know, it's a fun team. You know, lots of character, lots of good character. You know, lots of guys that I think Bogey said have, you know, winning mentalities. And I think, you know, a lot of guys are doing that while still having fun. And you know, trying to bounce back from last year. I think we have a really good team, and I'm excited to get things going.
You know, I said this on Nesson, which I'm sure everyone saw yesterday, but they brought your name up, and I said, listen, Bobby Dalbec is a great example of player development. So congratulations on that. I have proclaimed that you are a great example of player development. But, you know, a lot, you could go back a year, even a couple of years, and say, bring up Dalbec, he's going to hit a bunch of home runs. But they took your time. They brought you to Fenway for a couple of weeks just to, like, hang out and work in the back cage. Then you went to Japan. Then you did the alternate site. You did the spring training a couple times. And then by the time you got called up, I don't know if you knew this, but you hit home runs. But so,
yeah.
But am I wrong in that? I mean, looking back at it, you probably were like, oh, I'm glad I took that route that I did.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's path is different. So I kind of just tried to, you know, stay within myself, and, you know, let things happen when they happen has kind of been my whole thing. You know, it's easy to get caught up in who's in front of you and when am I going to get called up? When am I going to do this? But you got to take care of today first. And I think that's something that kind of stuck with me, you know, learning that, you know, in my first couple of years of pro ball. And, you know, I kind of, you know, took that to heart, and it stuck with me. And I just kept kind of grinding things out and let everything take care of itself.
Obviously, there's a good amount of new additions here with the Red Sox. Which guys have you talked to so far and kind of built a relationship with that are new to the team?
I've talked with Kike quite a bit.
Stop right there. Okay. We had Joe Kelly on. He used to play for the Red Sox.
Yeah, he was a pitcher. Yeah.
And he proclaimed that Kike Hernandez was a more athletic version of Brock Holt. Would you agree?
I don't know. That's tough to say. They both bring two different elements to the game. I haven't been around Kike too much, but, you know, they're both really good dudes.
Okay, definitely, all right. I mean, he seems like a funny dude, right? And, like, we've talked with Haim, yeah, other people on different platforms about how important it is to have a guy like that that's going to liven up the clubhouse.
Yeah, it's hard to say anything bad about Brock.
No, we're not saying anything bad. We're just saying the vertical jump test, that he might not get what Kike's score is.
Who have you been talking to, Bobby?
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt your
jumping
answer.
All over the question.
So I think Brock is sneaky more athletic than everyone thinks.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Refuting Joe
Kike, you know, Kike is very funny. I haven't really, you know, gotten that close to where I see the super, super funny side yet, but I know it's in there. You know it's in there.
They give up certain vibes where it's like, this is going to be a thing. Now, on with that, yeah, staying with that path there of, you know, the clubhouse being popping and you guys having a great time, is Tunnel Time sticking around this year? A lot of people have asked about that. You seem to have an absolute blast when you were doing the Tunnel Time celebration in the dugout. Is that going to stick around for 2021?
I'm not sure about in the dugout. I know Devers and I will say it to each other about 15 times a day, or whenever we cross each other's paths. That's pretty much the only conversations we have are just saying Tunnel Time back and forth to each other.
So some deep combos.
Welcome to spring training.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. But,
all right, we're going to keep an eye out on that, though, because a lot of people actually want to know if that's going to still be a thing this year.
Yeah, you never know. I think I think that'd be up to Plawecki. I think he kind of got the ball rolling on that last year. So that'd be a Plawecki question, I think.
All right. Well, we will also ask Kevin Plawecki if he thinks that Kike Hernandez is more athletic than Brock Holt, so we can break this tie.
Yeah.
Here's an odd question. So a couple years ago, we're down in spring training, and it must be awesome not having media in the clubhouse like at 8 o'clock in the morning. That must be great. Honestly, it is, right?
Well, we're not really in the locker room, the clubhouse too much. We're kind of, you know, in the change, go to the gym, go hit. Go to the field, kind of a deal. It's not a ton of hanging out in there.
Okay, so it must be. I'll rephrase that. It must be great not having the media around at all. So,
we miss you guys.
I'll be there in a couple of days. You're welcome.
Awesome.
So, you know, one of the questions, you know, I had asked, I think, a couple of years ago, then everyone else followed up and got my sloppy seconds, was your whole thing with your dad and Atlantic Records and being executive.
Yeah.
And I was thinking more about that. I'm thinking about, like, how can I ask, like, an interesting question off of what you've already said? And I apologize if this is just beating a dead horse. But I do find it interesting that your dad was this bigwig at Atlantic Records. I do find it interesting that you hung out with Bruno Mars. And I find it interesting to think, did this help, like, hanging around with these people? So when you did see the bigwigs in baseball, that it's no big deal. You know, I've been around celebrities and I know what it's like.
You know, I think it's a little different because if I was an aspiring, you know, professional rock musician, I think seeing those guys would be, or musician would be more of a more crazy, but I still, you know, I think seeing, you know, big wig guys in the big leagues would, you know, kind of make me more nervous, if that makes sense, back, you know, few years ago.
Well, honestly, some of the stuff you got there from Ken Griffey Jr., I'm very jealous of that. The fact that, did your dad have a relationship with him, or what was that all about?
One of Ken Griffey Jr.'s very close friends and my dad worked together in Seattle at a radio station, I believe. I don't know if it was before or after my dad started with Atlantic, but they became close. And then when we moved to California, and Griffey was playing on the Reds, he would always come into town and, you know, play against the Dodgers. So I would go to games and, you know, he'd wait after games and, you know, talk for a couple minutes and, you know, sign something or give me something. It's really cool.
That had to be awesome. Was there one thing that you took from convos with him that you kind of keep with you today? Or was it more just like, hey kiddo, like I'll sign your ball.
I was way too young to remember any of that stuff, but the coolest thing is that I think I sent you a picture of, you know, that picture he signed for me that says to Bobby, keep swinging. That's pretty cool.
That is awesome. That's pretty.
Yeah. That's a cool one. That's a really cool one. Yeah.
Bobby Dahl back at the Boston Red Sox joined us. And so along those lines of seeing these guys you look up to, and you know how when there were guys in the clubhouse, it'd be you guys who were in the minor leagues, it would be all the way down the end, right? And you and CJ Chatham and you know, Ruzne and those guys. And then you have So then you have the guys as you get close to the middle, the Pedroias and the Ortizes and the JD Martinezes and Bogarts and everything else. But for the young, when you were a young guy at spring training, is it a cliche to say there is a value for a guy like Nick York, who's 18 years old in that dynamic? Is there really value for a guy to be soaking all of that in over the course while you're getting major league per diem?
Oh, yeah, I think him just learning from everyone and being around it, just even being there is good for him. Just makes him, gives him a little bit more of a comfort level in the next couple of years, because he's gonna be a really good player. So I think the more comfortable he gets around everyone, it'll help him kind of just stay within himself as he, you know, comes up and, has to grind through the minor leagues.
How did it help you? I mean, what was it? What was there? I know that you get in the cage with JD and that dynamic. Like, what was the biggest thing that helped you of hanging around in spring training with these guys?
I just being a fly on the wall, I think, and soaking everything up. I couldn't point out one particular conversation or something that somebody said to me. I think it's just an accumulation of being around there and just taking bits and pieces from listening to guys talk, whether it's, Petey a couple of years ago or JD, or just building those relationships just gives you that more comfort level. And then you can kind of, ask more intricate questions or personal questions, about each other's game, after you develop that comfort level.
So, Bobby, this just in, the Red Sox stunk last year. What was the hardest part for you being on a team that was way out of contention, considering that you came up? We joked about wanting to send you back down because you were playing too well. What was the hardest part of trying to, compete and show up to the ballpark every day, knowing that it didn't really matter wins-wise? You guys were way out of the race.
I don't think it's not that hard to compete. Because obviously, on a personal level, baseball, you want to, everyone wants to put up numbers and everything, but, we were still playing to win games and having fun with it too. So I didn't really ever feel that vibe of, we're out of it. Let's mail it in or anything like that. Everyone, we were trying to win ball games and we were having fun still, I think. So, or at least I was, because I was just, fresh still. So I wasn't really, that side of it didn't really get into my head. I was just trying to, get up there and, do my thing and help the team win.
How much better are you now than a year ago?
I think a lot, I don't know how to put a number on it, but a lot better, I think, mentally, physically, mechanically, whatever you want to put on it. I feel a lot better, more confident going into this season than I have in the past.
Bobby, I did some math and I spread your numbers out over a 162 game season.
You are averaging 78 home runs.
56 homers. 113 RBIs, unfortunately 274 Ks. Again, and this is I'm not a hitting coach. Take away all of those strikeouts. I love those numbers. Do you put numbers on like, hey, I want to get to this? A lot of guys love doing the 30 homer, 100 RBI. If you can hit 300, obviously that's huge for a lot of players. Do you have numbers in your head, or are you just trying to go out there and dominate it each game?
I'm just trying to hit the ball hard and, let things take care of themselves. I can't really control, I can control how I attack the ball, but I can't control what the ball does after I hit it. So, or where it goes. So I'm just trying to hit the ball hard and, make sure I'm on time and, seeing the ball well. As long as I'm seeing the ball well and taking good swings and controlled swings, and, I'll be in a good spot. I don't really like to put, 30, 100, or whatever numbers.
I'm just saying, the most homers Griffey ever hit was 56 in a season. If you project your numbers out last year, it's 56, so I think that should be your target. You don't have to answer that, but just have that in your locker room, right? Have that in your locker. Be like, I need to hit 57 to top Griffey. That would be a great story.
I'll tape it up in the back of my locker for you.
there you go. Last question for me.
Numbers.
Last question for me, very important. Give me your best story from Japan. Because I went to Tokyo with the Red Sox in 2008, and because I'm self-serving, I'll give you my best story, which isn't really a story, but the napkins came in wrappers, which was bizarre to me when I went to Subway. This is my takeaway.
Yeah.
That's great. What is your best story?
I got a good one.
All right.
it was so weird, but the place we were staying at, the Tokyo Dome Hotel, there's like a theme park, right? Like pretty much on that lot, I guess. So there's, I think it was called the Electric Dolphin or something like that. and it was like super fast, super high drop a roller coaster, and did that a few times. But the second to last day we were there, we found a haunted house. And we didn't think anything of it, really. And it ended up being one of the most terrifying, like, haunted houses I've ever walked through in my entire life.
You didn't think you're getting out there alive.
It was me, CJ Chatham, and Cody Ponce from the Brewers. Or maybe the Pirates now. I'm not sure. I should probably call them then, huh? And it's pitch black in there, and you're walking through these rooms, and all they give you is a flashlight with a little bit of duct tape over it, and they cut a little tiny hole in the duct tape so you can barely even use the flashlight. And there's just people jumping out, you know, from the ceiling, out of doors, you know, grabbing you and scaring you and stuff. That was a tough one to walk out of after that. We were not expecting that.
That is bizarre.
I hate haunted houses anyway. Yeah. It's just like, getting out of there, like, knowing you're just going to be scared every 2 seconds, I'm like, nah, I'll pass.
Yeah, and it was in between like a Cold Stone and a Shake Shack or something like that. You just walk in, it's just a haunted house. It's bizarre.
You get a burger and then get scared. Yeah, that's a great call. Yeah.
Tokyo Dome is wild. Yeah. It's like the crappiest stadium I've ever seen in my life. And I don't know if you feel the same way. I'm just speaking for myself. But it's the weird thing is, Bobby, when I was there, the sun, they made it so the sun shined right through the roof to the outfielder's eyes. So, again, not a good story as the haunted house story, not even close, but that's all I remember. The haunted house wasn't there when I was there.
The last thing for me, Bobby, sorry for cutting you off there. I know that you are big on the guitar, right? You got a guitar last year. You said you're going to get good at it. Have you improved at all, and can you do any full songs?
I've improved quite a bit, and I can do some full songs, yeah. I just kind of like jamming along to stuff and just, you know, playing with people. That's my favorite thing to do. I've been learning, you know, chord progressions and how to, you know, have fun with it and kind of make my own stuff and just improvise stuff. It's super fun for me.
Is the guitar within 15 feet of you right now?
No, I knew you were going to do this. Bobby, just say it's not.
It might be.
Come on. Let's go.
I think I got to restring it.
Yeah, I knew it. I'm a guitar guy, and that's a classic thing.
That's a pro move.
Yeah, on Saturday, normally, us guitar guys, we restring
always
it.
Always restring on Saturday nights.
Yeah. Oh, it is Saturday, you're right.
Again,
yeah,
if you're not a guitar guy, you wouldn't know that, but like we always restring our guitars on Saturday night.
All right, well, we've kept you a long time, Bobby. We really appreciate it. Please come back on the live BP baseball show, and if you see me down there in a few days, you are obliged to run away from me, if you like. Please so.
Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks,
Appreciate
Bobby.
It, Bobby.
All right, it's Bobby Dalbec, another great guest here on Live BP Baseball Show. We're also coming up, just some housekeeping in terms of what's coming up in hour two of this show. Steve Perrault wanted to dive into one of the biggest changes in the American League East that surfaced this week, and we have an expert to call in to talk and to give us insight, which no other baseball show in the country we'll have. What a tease that is. We'll do all of that coming up.
Now back to the Live BP Baseball Show with Brad Bowen and Steve on WEEI.
All right, thank you to Bobby Dalbec for joining us for another great interview. I think we're 7-for-7 or something along those lines.
Yeah.
The ratings bear that out. Congratulations on another great week of ratings for the Live BP Baseball Show. Speaking of ratings, speaking of radio, we had a flurry of interviews yesterday. We talked a little bit about Sale. Cora was on. But I want to get your take on the Adam Ottavino comment, right? So
it's something.
Yeah. So in case people aren't familiar, that Adam Ottavino a few years ago, I believe it was on the StatCast podcast, which I didn't even know existed, but it sounds kind of interesting. And he said, you know, I would strike out Babe Ruth every time. And so they asked him about that yesterday, Dale and Keith. And they asked, okay, here's the whole back and forth.
How do you think you would do against Ted Williams?
Oh, geez, I don't know. I mean, you know, I mean, it's a different era. He played after the Babe, so
true.
Probably saw a little better pitching than Babe Ruth did. But I don't know. Hypothetical at this point, I guess it's not worth weighing in, but I feel like I would do just fine.
He did weigh in. He weighed in.
It's not worth weighing in. I'd strike him out. I'd strike him out immediately, all right? I'd take him down in three pitches. Again, I don't want to weigh in, but I'd strike him out five times
okay.
in the same game.
All right, all right. And just as a reminder, after coming up after the next commercial break, we're going to have a special guest talk about one of the biggest changes in the American League East. But Steve Peralt, your thoughts?
Well, it's bizarre to me. I would love to know. I'm glad we played the audio for so we have context. I would love to know the context of the Babe Ruth comment that he had.
Oh, he meant it.
But I'm saying, like,
it's about the evolution of baseball.
I'm saying, like, did he just, like, bring that up out of nowhere? Like, by the way, I'd, like, hose down Babe Ruth.
Or,
But that's a weird question to ask Adam Ottavino. That's why I'm stuck on this. It's like, I expect this kind of nonsense from, like, you know, Bauer or Stroman.
Or Joe Kelly.
Who love to hear themselves talk. Yeah. So, like, I expect it from guys that want it to go viral and want to almost use that quote, knowing that everyone's going to run with it. Adam Ottavino, I'm like, what? Why is he saying this? It's a bizarre thing.
It's so, put it in context, StatCast podcast, they're talking about the evolution of baseball and, you know, how guys throw compared maybe back then. That's how it comes up. And you know what? I don't disagree with him.
I don't either. What was the hardest pitch that Babe Ruth ever faced?
Well, we don't know.
No, I know.
They had to time it with a horse and a motorcycle.
Yeah, exactly. It's a rhetorical question. But obviously, what was Ruth's last year in the 20s?
No.
The 30s?
No, he played for the Boston Braves, I think, in 1940.
Really? He played that late? Jeez,
yeah,
I'm way off with that.
He was awful. He had to have someone run to first base.
Yeah, and he just didn't last that long as a human. So, like, I understand that conditioning, all of that, you know, having access to more things for Ottavino, I understand that's going to help his case. But I keep going back to the fact that I think it's hilarious that Adam Ottavino is the guy we're talking about that's going to strike out Babe Ruth and Ted Williams.
But, you know, and it gets people so mad. And then you have this, and it was a great question by Keith. It really was.
And the answer wasn't even that aggressive. I think we're acting like he said he was going to mow down Teddy Ballgame.
But you know what he meant. I mean, you know what he was thinking. He was thinking, yeah of course. I wouldn't strike him out.
Yeah.
But
that slider right into the knees, I mean, that's going to be hard for Teddy to turn on. So I do think it's funny, though. I just think it's funny that he's the guy that's talking about this. It's a interesting thing to have, like, tagged to you, because we all know, like, when Joe Kelly comes up, we think of all the funny Joe Kelly stuff. Anytime I hear Ottavino's name, I think about the Babe Ruth thing. Like, that's all I think about.
You know, another example, Wade Miley. Remember what Wade Miley said?
I just remember him milking a cow in Texas. I don't remember what he said.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't remember that?
It's a great photo.
Wade Miley said, I'm pretty sure that Babe Ruth wasn't on a gluten-free diet.
Yeah, he very much wasn't. So I understand from that angle that you
But that was building up Babe Ruth. That wasn't tearing him down.
No, I know. But, again, it's Adam Ottavino. But I like it. I enjoy that that's a storyline. It's something we can talk about. Because, again, once spring training comes around tomorrow, once the games start, I can't wait to overreact.
Right.
To everything.
It's going
to
be great.
The overreactions are going to be through the roof. Oh. It's going to be completely unnecessary, and we're going to make full segments out of it, and I can't wait.
And you know what? I am going to have to, usually, like, seeing every inning of spring training games as, like, the substitute announcer on WEEI 850.
You do a great job. I'm not sucking up to you. I think you do a great job.
Well, I sound great on AM radio.
Yeah.
But usually, like, you're like, oh, my goodness, do I have to watch Corky's Hernandez again?
Yeah.
But this
There's probably
year,
guys that show up that you don't even know
but
who
this
it is.
Year, first of all, seven innings, great.
Yeah.
And also, by the way, like, nobody else is going to be watching this.
I know.
I am going to be, like, the foremost expert for this show about what happened every week.
What is your experience like when you're down there, just generally speaking?
I am going to tease that and tell you after we get to our guest after this break.
Perfect.
So in case you didn't hear me before, coming up after this break, there is a big, big change in the American League East, and I'm just going to spoil it with the New York Yankees, and we are going to have someone come on who has more insight than you'll get on anybody else, from anybody else in the world of baseball shows. That is a guarantee. That is right after this break.